audacity of sharing with you tonight some things from John 21 that I think are very appropriate and something God's really spoken to me in the last week. So if you don't mind, let's look at chapter 21 and see some really great things here. Yeah. Father, thank you for these men. Lord, we're all equal and we love you in our own right, Lord. And yet we need each other. We have each other, Lord. This friendly group, Lord, for as long as you see fit. Thank you, Lord, that even through this Zoom, Lord, I've met people I never knew, and I'm so happy for what you've done and what you're doing. We praise you, Lord. We pray that you'll, yeah, even as you're doing, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts as we look at this chapter and
yes.
Keep drawing us, Lord, to the cross.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm talking to Bible scholars, so there's only so much I can do to impress you. Here we are, and I'll tell you what, you know, the Lord has a way of speaking to us in Scripture as we go on in our lives, doesn't he? They go in hand in a way, revelation and seeing the truth in the Scriptures that confirms or doesn't confirm what we're thinking. I like what Samuel Logan Brangle said once. He said, the law is like a hedge. And he was all about New Testament holiness and the Holy Spirit. He said, the law is like a hedge that keeps us safe, you know. Don't do this, don't do that. But we know in the New Covenant, it's not about what not to do. It's about God bringing us into love, and that love is the great commandment now, which really in a strange way allows us to be creative in our helping people and doing good, you know. Yeah. Like Mr. North reading about the sending out, I believe, of the 70. Forgive me if I don't quite quote it right, but at one point he says, go your way. And it's interesting, and Mr. North brought out the creative power of God, that you and I are different. We're going out. We're going our way. We're seeking to reach people, seeking to help people. And we're all different, right? And God wants us to be different. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so what's been happening with me is, if you don't know, I've got this art website, and Kathy and I thought we'd launch out and see what happens. And the truth is that after over a year, we haven't made much money, though it's been kind of enjoying and enjoyable, and we plan to continue. But I found that the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, feed my sheep. Now that's a very broad command, right? But we have put a lot of work into this thing, and I caught a sense of how Peter and the disciples would have felt here in chapter 21, when Peter, after all was said and done, and he denied his Lord and he'd gone out and wept, I go a fishing. I like the old King James, you know, a hunting we will go, a fishing we will go. I go a fishing. And the others said, we're going too. He was this type of leader, wasn't he? We realized he was kind of leading the wrong way. But they fished all night and they caught nothing. And I was thinking about myself, and you know, we've made a few sales and all, but in really, in when all's been said and done, we've caught nothing, you know, and that's okay. Because the Lord very clearly, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 days ago, said, feed my sheep. And, you know, I've done that through the years in different ways, but the focus of my life to feed the sheep. Now, I'm not an apostle like Peter was, but this chapter is so interesting in many ways. So, verse 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, parentheses, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits. So 200 cubits is about 300 feet, maybe. A cubit being 18 inches, or the fingertip to the elbow, right? A football field length, if you want to picture it. It takes a fair amount to yell that far, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, I want to call this the Great Commission Part B. You know the Great Commission. Go out into all the world, right? Bring them in. But you know, this chapter, the more I've thought about it, it is focused on Peter. And this part of the Great Commission. And isn't it interesting that John, who was so concerned about the spiritual aspect of communion, was so concerned about this, Peter's role, John's role, and the fact that it was all about Peter and his role to feed the sheep. Now, Peter was, you know, he was the guy who preached on the day of Pentecost and all the, you know, talk about a fisherman, talk about an evangelist. And he was the one who went to Cornelius and his house, brought them in. He was the one who was in Samaria preaching. So he was an evangelist, but Peter was, or Jesus was saying, look, this is your focus. Don't go fishing anymore. You know, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? You wonder who these are, but it could be that they were the fish, you know. Do you want to go fishing the rest of your life, Peter? Or do you want to feed my feet, my sheep? And so it was this Great Commission Part B, which is the focus on the church. It's, you know, it's all part of it, but Peter, focus on the church. Church with a capital C, you know. And here the Lord said, well, they fished all night and found nothing. Then the Lord said, cast your net on the other side. And they got all this. The Lord was saying to Peter, look, I'm going to provide for you. Lay those nets aside. I've got something greater. You're to feed my sheep. You know how the story continues. Feed my sheep, Peter. Hallelujah. And, you know, for you and I would dare to say, have we been monkeying around with other things to fulfill our time, our interests, our joy? I think Peter loved to fish, frankly. The Lord says to us, feed my sheep. You might think, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher or whatever. But the Lord says to our hearts, feed my sheep. I'm going to provide for you. I'm not saying that I or you should leave our jobs or anything like that. I'm talking more spiritually. You know, and Jesus in this chapter, when you think about it, it's all about Peter and his role, his calling. And you know, it's very interesting because, you know, later on, for instance, verse 29, Peter turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved and said, what about him? And Jesus says, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So I believe that Jesus was saying, look, you're a leader. You're going to help feed the flock, but you're not a dictator. You're not going to be controlling everybody. They're going to be free. John's going to be free to do what I've called him to do, you know. And you and I here, we're free, right? Nobody's saying, you know, no one's trying to be the leader and say, this is what you're to do, or I'm going to control you. But it's this amazing way that God works in his church, is that despite the fact that we'd like to control so much or say, you guys quit that, or, you know, we can commit each person, each work to the Lord and trust that somehow he's going to reach some of the Catholics and some of the Lutherans and some of the Mormons, dare I say. And, you know, he's going to reach people. And that's not really my problem, but it's where God has put me. But again, this is about Peter now, of course, that Jesus has risen from the dead. You might feel like, you know, I mean, not a few of you are getting kind of old like me. And you might be thinking, well, I'm washed up, you know, or I'm going fishing. I'm going surfing on the internet. Or I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to take up hiking, or, you know, all these things. And in their own right, they're okay, but God's going to provide. But he has this is part of the commission. But you see, John is all about the communion. The spiritual communion that the breaking of the bread represents, that's what John's concerned about, that they may be perfect in one And these different things that John brings out about this spiritual communion with God. And then he, you know, he has, you don't really read the Great Commission. You read about the harvest is great and so on, but, this, even in our old age, to draw away from focusing on things we love and feed God's sheep wherever we are, you know, whether we're leading a work or whether we have responsibilities or we've got a Bible study or whatever it is. And for me, it, God's really spoken to me. Praise God. He's clarified to me. I felt that, I'm, you know, in my own personal life, this work with my website and doing art and so on, that the Lord, you know, that I could say to him, Lord, I've hardly caught anything. And he says, don't worry, cast your net on the other side. And it's not like I've found some new way to make money. Money isn't the issue, really. But doing the Lord's will is the issue in my heart. You know, and I'm sure in yours as well. Yeah, and so to consider. And, you know, when we read that about Peter, we know he was, either he just didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Dare I say he was bored? I don't know. It's like, okay, Jesus has died. And this was even, you know, after he'd run to the tomb and he discovered the empty tomb and Mary had shared, you know, they've taken him. I don't know where they've taken him. And, you know, and then of course they met him, right? At the end of chapter 20, they met Jesus. He was risen from the dead. And even after that, Peter says, I go fishing. And the Lord just was gently redirecting him, you know? And as we read about Peter, as the book of Acts develops, what a great man, what a hero, you know, what a brave man to preach on that day, you know, after they were filled with the Spirit, you find that the fear they had before, the fear they had at the cross, the fear that Peter had, and denying Jesus three times, they were changed, you know, and that was something that affected me when I was on the road to becoming a Christian, was I saw that something happened to the disciples that was noteworthy, that they had become brave men, whereas before, well, you know, not so brave. Something had happened when the Spirit came. So it's a great story. And of course, you know, we see Jesus. I mean, he was so kind to Peter. And I think the way that Jesus wants to direct us, if we're, you know, with our hearts right, we're choosing a path that's not what he wants, not his highest. He'll gently correct us, you know. Matter of fact, it's so majestic how he treats us sometimes when we deserve a licking, you know. You know what I mean? A spanking, a discipline. You know, he just has his way of, here he cooks breakfast. Isn't that great? Jesus the chef. Chef Jesus. Cooking fish and providing. He put his approval on eating meat, didn't he? Or at least fish. But the Judeo-Christian walk has never been about stopping to eat, not eating meat, right? It's quite the opposite. sweet-smelling sacrifice. Yeah, that's what bacon is. Smells so great. Anyway, so he made breakfast for them. And isn't it interesting, too, that, in chapter 20, Mary didn't recognize Jesus. This is a mystery, isn't it? Because he was right there. How could she not recognize him? And somehow it was about revelation. It was about Jesus saying, Mary. Oh. And the next thing he says is, don't hug me so tight. Do not cling to me. Oh, of course she wanted to hug him and hug him and hug him. Don't cling to me. She said, I'm going to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Hence, explaining to us that we're to be adopted in brothers of Jesus Christ, sharing communion with him, joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Wonderful, isn't it? But then here he is. Children, have you any food? What a strange question. They said, no. These great fishermen had nothing. Isn't that, do you ever feel that way? I'm not saying we're great. I'm just saying, we've been around the block, haven't we? We know how it is to earn money, to provide, to accomplish things. But these great fishermen caught nothing. It was apparently the second time, right? They had tried, and then Jesus poured all those fish into the boat, and Peter falls down, and he says, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a wicked man. And Jesus just blessed him. He just blessed him. The way that he rebukes, the way that he redirects us. But they obeyed when he said, cast your net to the other side. And then we understand Peter was pretty strong there to pull the whole net in with 153 fish. Isn't that strange? You might have some insight into that. But, John was testifying, right? He was a witness. Maybe they caught the fish. Counted the fish. They must have. Look at this. 153. It was significant. Anyway, Jesus says, come and eat breakfast. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I don't know if this, speaks to any of you, but I know this, that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so it doesn't matter how unable I am. Doesn't matter how much of a misfit I am. It doesn't matter how many mistakes I've made. We can dare to come boldly to the Lord, and we can dare to fight these battles, and to understand that our weapons are not carnal. So if Richard doesn't measure up, which I have often felt that I haven't measured up, you look to God and you say, God, you've given me spiritual weapons. And I think that the care that we should have is for the care of the flock. Certainly to go out and reach out, but the care of the flock, Jesus, that's what Jesus was talking about with Peter. Peter, you've got a new commission. Part of the Great Commission is not only to go out and witness to the lost, but it's to care for the flock. And that's the way John saw it, Yeah, he'd been around a lot before he wrote this gospel. And he'd probably thought a lot, you know, considered things, seen a lot of things going on in the Christian movement that was taking place. And so, you know, he brought this out about, I don't think just Peter's focus, but ours as well. Whether it's little or big, you know, Peter had a lot of sheep, didn't he? I mean, he had a lot to do. He was an important man in God's in the early days of the church. And perhaps it's given me new vigor to do certain things, like these Bible studies with the Afghans I have, with this small group that the Lord seems to be leading Kathy and I to be more involved with. You know, more new vigor. Of course, we let God develop things, don't we? I mean, we don't push around. Oh, God's told me to feed the sheep, so get out of my way. This is, you know, I'm the big guy here. But our love, you know, Jesus, right? He saw the multitudes. They were lost like sheep, and he had compassion on them. And so important, so important. And, you know, Paul's goal, he says in the Colossian letter, it was to present everybody perfect. That's a tall order, isn't it? And, you know, we know that it's not my job to bring someone to perfection, but I have a part. And if God is leading me to people, and if I'm involved with people, to feel, to sense the green light, you know. Yeah, as the Lord leads. But certainly I believe that the Great Commission to go out into all the world is to me as well as anyone else. But I feel that this is as well, and I feel that God's made it very clear to me for myself. So anyway, I think I'm done. Yeah, it's a great chapter, and maybe in a fresh way you might see, you know, this interesting focus on Peter and why this chapter's here. Because it was the love Jesus had for his church, for his bride, you know. Yeah. That she should be without spot or blemish or wrinkle, anything, that her garments should be clean, pure, and white, no wrinkles, you know. I mean, I'm not responsible for your walk with the Lord, but I can encourage you, and the same thing with you guys. You're not responsible for my life, but you can encourage me, you know. Yeah. Okay, I'm finished.